Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Please, by the way, my bank accounts are dry, all right? Dry. Like salami. And I've got my internet bill that just came in, that's $120, and rent that is due, that's $250, and we don't have money for food either, so that'd be like another $150 or something. So we need pretty much immediately like around about $500. So if you could please go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com right now, like today, and chuck us a as big a donation as you can afford. And what I really need, more than just those one-off donations, is the recurring subscriptions, okay? Those are really, really valuable. It took me like 3 years. It took me about 3 years to get myself up to enough recurring payments where I didn't have to beg for money every other day. And unfortunately, PayPal cancelled that out. Saying that I need to prove that I was a charity or something like that. I didn't know what I was doing when I set that stuff up, which was a real pain. And they locked away, I think there's about maybe $600 in that account, which they say that I won't be able to get back unless I prove that I'm a charity, which I'm not, and I already told them that. So they basically, they've stolen that money and they're just sitting on it, accumulating the interest. You know, thank you, PayPal, you freaking scumbags. But in either case, I created a business PayPal, which won't have that problem. So please, by all means, go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and subscribe. Click on the little PayPal button. You can subscribe from anywhere from $1 to $100 a month. Doesn't matter. We'll give you a commercial-free archives. And the commercial-free archives aren't that hard to find if you want them for free and want to trial them before you start giving something to the show. Okay, please, please help me. I need desperately your support right now because people like the Prime Sinister, John Key, who's on the screen behind me for those of you watching the video, is taking this country's freedoms out. Okay, really, just taking them out. Step by step with the totalitarian tiptoe, as David Icke would say it. And there ain't no other media source in this country who is operating to this extent, to this level. And I'm not tooting my own horn here. Technically I am, but it's true, okay? When Muhammad Ali said, I'm the best boxer in the world and I'll whip his ass and that kind of thing and I'll dance around, he won't land a blow on me. It wasn't because he was a narcissistic dude who was completely full of himself. It was because he was the best guy in the world and he danced around and barely got a hand laid on him. Okay? I'm the Muhammad Ali of the New Zealand truth media. Okay? Please, bet on me. It's a safe bet. This is the rumble in the jungle, the thunder from down under, yo. I've got my mitts on and I will be dealing the killer blows to the scumbaggery agents of the New World Order that are currently controlling this country. And I need, underline that, I desperately need your support in order to continue this fight. The one thing that really frightens me is that the activists who I have on this program and the people who, particularly from New Zealand, that we have on the show, basically don't get a platform really anywhere else. And even if they do, like I say, it's reduced to a minute or two tops. That's if they don't just get reduced to a sound bite. You know, how are you gonna satisfy your hunger for the truth with only a soundbite here or there? Okay, we'll give you the whole truth sandwich to fill your belly up and digest that Shiite Muslim. This is the absolute best, in my opinion, and that might be a biased opinion, of course, alternative truth source in the country. Certainly, the most popular. And it's And it's not for, because I'm, you know, so great and what have you. It's just because I show up and I do what's necessary. Okay, like I was pretty upset when I went to the GCSB protest and they didn't even give me a chance to speak to the crowd until the very end when there was like a couple of dozen people left. You know, when I lent my megaphone and taped the microphones up front for them because their sound system was so poor that they that the people, the thousands of people that showed up, those at the back of the crowd couldn't hear anybody speaking. And they actually tried to prevent me from helping them. And were really irritated that I was up on stage with them, putting microphones on the speakers so that they could be captured in high quality sound and filming them from two angles so that I can get those things. Okay? I may not be appreciated by some people, but at the end of the day, I'm not doing it there. I'm not doing that kind of thing to get myself in the headlines or anything like that. I'm doing it so that these really important people who have suffered so much, exposing the drastically massive levels of scumbaggery in this country, I'm doing it for them. They may not even know who I am. They might not even care. But that's okay. All right? Somebody's got to help them get their message out. Mainstream media ain't going to do it. All of the other people in the crowd with their cameras and everything, they ain't going to do it. They barely upload any videos at all. And when they do, it ain't edited, it ain't done well, and it ain't put on a channel really of any significant following. So the responsibility falls to me, not because anybody's asked me to do it, but because I am compelled to do it because my country needs me to do it, that people need their voices to be heard. And when you're the person in that position to give them that voice, if you do not take responsibility for that position, regardless of whether or not you're appreciated for doing it, it's a spit in the face of everything that you claim to stand for. And there's many people in this country that are like that, who have this ability and don't use it. I will never be one of those people. That's why I need you to go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and subscribe for a couple of dollars a month, $5 a month, either through the bank account, the Kiwi Bank account, and then if you can't do that, then there's a PayPal option available. Now, we'd like to get up our guest now, Catherine Albrecht. So if you've got her on the on the line there, AFR, just let me know. Or if Catherine, you're on the line there, just speak up.
I think I'm right here. Hello. Good evening.
Yeah. I'm so glad to have you with me because, there's been a lot of scumbaggery going down in New Zealand to do with surveillance and what have you recently. And coincidentally, here's somebody who has, like, the goss on what surveillance and this kind of thing is. So, Dr. Catherine Albrecht, it's my honor to have you on the show today.
Well, thanks. It's really delightful to be back on your show. And, you know, for 14 years now, I've been talking about the whole privacy issue. I have to say, it's been, you know, and you never want to say I told you so about bad things. You kind of hope that you're wrong. But a lot of the things that we've been warning people about for all these years, I think really thanks to the efforts of Edward Snowden and a really diligent media that's really, you know, turned over the rocks and been showing us what's going on, we're actually starting to see some awareness now for the first time in a long time.
What frustrated me about the Snowden story is the people that you would expect to be, you know, appreciating this kind of information, these kind of whistleblowers coming out saying, "Oh, he's just a distraction. Oh, it's just BS." You know, if he was real, the media wouldn't cover him at all. It's like, no, the media can't cover up absolutely everything.
Yeah, and you know, my experience actually with the media is that there are people within the media that have done tremendous work to expose things. I mean, you look at Watergate. I mean, you know, that's one of the biggest explosive stories that's ever taken place. You look at Wienergate. You know, that's happening right now, right here in the U.S. in New York. There are many, many things that journalists have helped to uncover and to expose. So I'm not a big fan of the mainstream media. I think in a lot of the chronic problems that face the country, but when it comes to the acute problems like this one, you know, I really think that we owe a huge debt of gratitude to the media. I'll give you one example. Back in 2007, I actually worked with the Associated Press with reporter Todd Lewin for over 6 months on a story that broke and took down the implantable microchip industry. This is the Verichip Corporation that was implanting microchips into the arms of diabetic patients and Alzheimer's patients, and we were able to put an end to it because we worked together, you know, kind of a whistleblower journalist relationship. And after 6 months of, you know, doing all of the due diligence and all the research, that major story broke, and it truly just decimated the corporation that was doing that. Their stock value went from $11 a share to like 24 cents a share, and they were delisted from the stock exchange. So, you know, there are times when the media really continues to be, you know, just an immense force for good. And I think it's one of the reasons why our privacy is so important. One of the first people to get surveilled and spied on and have pressure put on them are the members of the media. And so I think they're particularly sensitive to this because they rely on that kind of confidentiality and privacy and indeed secrecy of their communications with their sources in order to be trusted enough with these kinds of stories to bring them to light. So I definitely think journalists, you know, they're the first people to need private services, privacy services, and to need to be thoughtful about that.
The Prime Minister's Office of New Zealand recently called a journalist asking them to reveal their sources because they wrote an article exposing some basically crimes that the Prime Minister's office was committing and tried to bully them into giving up their sources. And like a good chef, the journalist did not reveal their sources. And and the New Zealand military has just come out and published a public statement saying that journalists are in fact a threat to national security in New Zealand.
Of course they're going to say that. Yeah, absolutely they're going to say that. And yet, I think it was Alex Jones just today up on his website was talking about this new report where they actually cited the Drudge Report, too. I mean, talk about all the icons of modern journalism and really saying that there's a real, you know, that this bad news is popping up on the headlines of this alternative media, and the government of the United States is now saying we've got to get there first. You know, we're not able, no longer are we able to cover up these kinds of stories. And we've got to get with the reality that we can't cover them up anymore. They are going to be exposed. And so our new tactic has to be getting there first and putting our spin on the bad news before the public gets a hold of it. And I thought that was very interesting that they're acknowledging that in this informational arms race that they are losing. You know, they're not able to shut down the entire Internet. The Internet is almost like you know, it's like water. You put your hand and you block off one course of it, and then it just flows around you and goes a different way. It's virtually impossible to stop the free flow of information today. And let me give you just one example that I think is just so encouraging of this. I'm thinking even a couple of years back. Do you remember when the Iranian elections happened? And there was some shenanigans at the ballot box, or at least the public certainly believed that there was, and there seemed to be evidence of that. And the people of Iran, you know, a very oppressive regime, a very oppressed nation, they took to the streets and protested what was happening in that election, the outcome of the election. Well, the police went and cordoned off the area where this protest was occurring, and they told all the journalists that they had to leave. And so anybody with a camera, anybody with a microphone, anybody with a press badge, they were all forced to leave. Well, meanwhile, the police actually shot and killed a woman who was lying in a pool of blood on the ground. And that information would have never reached the mainstream 20, 30 years ago, ever. But because everybody in that crowd had a smartphone, they all had iPhones and Android phones and Motorola phones, they all snapped pictures and posted them up on Twitter. Within seconds, the entire world was able to see what was happening in Iran. And that's the kind of thing that, unless you're going to act like North Korea and take away every last shred of technology and make it a capital offense to own a cell phone, which is what does happen in North Korea, you know, unless you're willing to go to that level of oppression, you can't stop it. And I think that, you know, you look at Edward Snowden, You've got the entire FBI, you've got the U.S. government shaking their massive fist in his direction, but there's not a thing they can do about him. You know, the cat's out of the bag, it's done. When you mention your story in New Zealand, though, what I think is so disturbing about this is that the people who are accused of these crimes, and when the whistleblowers reveal the crimes and actually show the criminals red-handed, that there's this willingness on the part of the media or the public to let them reframe the conversation and blame the messenger and turn the whistleblower into the supposed criminal, and thus deflecting the attention away from their own crimes. And I think that's the big thing we're up against right now in the court of public opinion. People have got to stand by the whistleblowers and support them. Edward Snowden is a hero. He is not a traitor. And if you want to talk criminals, it's the people he exposed.
Indeed. And we'll be right back soon, ladies and gentlemen. Just remember, the person who kind of coined the phrase conspiracy theorist was Richard Milhouse Nixon, who called Woodward and Bernstein conspiracy theorists because they exposed him for being part of a conspiracy. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Don't you go anywhere, folks.